Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai. Great new inventory and great deals to be had. Pre-owned inventory, great selection, fabulous selection. And a fabulous service department to back all this up. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Neil Coolong in a moment. First, our play-by-play call of the day.
Wilson lines them up. He's in the gun. He's got Carson to his left. It's a tight formation. Motion to the near side. Wilson gives it off inside, and it is stopped. He went again with an end around. The handoff went, and it went to Moore, and they stopped them again, and the Eagles hold on. Here we go. Fourth down and two. Wilson back. He's lucky. He starts to run. Eagles stop him again.
The great Merrill Reese with the call on the Eagles radio network, also heard on Eagle 107. The Eagle, as I mentioned earlier, I thought the Eagles' defensive front really played a heck of a game last night. They really did. They kept them in the game by how they played with that defensive front. And those two fourth down stops were emblematic of that, in my opinion. I thought Seattle dominated the game, yet on the scoreboard couldn't because of that defensive front. All right, so we're all set. The last thing I expected in my career was to do a Wednesday evening basketball game at the Jordan Center. Now, we're going to have talk to Santa tomorrow, so we're not airing it on WKOK for good reason. I mean, talk to Santa. But I have a basketball game I have to do tomorrow evening. The last thing in my career I expected to say is I'm doing a basketball game on a late Wednesday afternoon, early Wednesday evening in competition with a Steelers game. Huh? Welcome to 2020. And we welcome in Neil Coolong.
As usual, it's great to be here. I have an idea now. I can double up on the amount of times that I'm going to talk about the Steelers-Ravens game over the course of going on 2 weeks now, and maybe make a side venture out of it. What do you think?
We're together on this. I mean, what the heck? I mean, can I get a cut?
10% finder's fee is only fair, right? That's the standard rate.
Sure. On the surface, it sounds like a scam. All right, but on the surface. Okay. I feel like the Steelers have the perfect coach to deal with all of this in terms of his attitude. I would say that whether they're winning or not, how do you feel about that?
I think Mike Tomlin said it pretty well during the whole Tennessee crisis, which turns out to be a blip on the radar compared to this. We do not care. I mean, really, that's the only way you can approach it if you're on kind of the outside of this looking in. The Steelers have had their preparation altered. Their schedule has been messed up multiple times this year. Now the NFL found a way to not only remove their bye week, but give it back to them through the COVID exposure to two of their opponents this season. Incidentally, the second one was the inconvenienced one the first time around. So it's the right attitude to take, because I really don't think there's a way to make it any more simple than that. They've had some players affected as well. I don't think it's going to be as much an issue for the Steelers as it will be for the Ravens, but top to bottom, I don't think he could prepare them any more than the way he's doing. He gave them a couple days off, which I think was probably smart, kind of looking ahead, seeing how this is all going to play out, giving them some rest that they probably needed. So if the Steelers can find the silver lining in this, come out of it with a win and fairly healthy, fairly safe, for a real quick turnaround and an odd circumstance for them to take on Washington, they'll definitely have to say that this is, you know, kind of the right way to approach everything. So kudos to Mike, the way that he's handled it to this point. Let's see what they do on the field, though, because this is just a weird game for both sides. I have no idea how this is going to play out. I mean, Vegas has given the Ravens 10.5 points. That seems weird to me just because it's still not a bad football team. I don't think the players who are going to be absent are necessarily, you know, high-end difference makers, but enough of it to think that it's going to be a very different football team. And we saw how the Steelers handled Dallas when they were kind of beaten up a bit before taking them on. So I don't know. It's a crazy game in a crazy year, but I think that Tomlin has, you know, exactly the message that he needs to send. And if he spoke this week to reporters, I'm sure he would say pretty much the exact same thing.
How are the Steelers physically? I mean, I know James Conner was supposed to be iffy at one point. How are they right now?
Well, Conner will be out. He's not going to play. They have a stable of running backs behind Conner that they've used in every short yardage situation there is, to little or no success. So the running backs themselves, I think, will be the obvious group to watch simply because without Conner, you've got a lot of guys fighting to establish themselves as featured backs. I would imagine Benny Snell will be the guy to get that honor. If they're planning on giving a guy the ball 25 times, I think it would be Snell if we were to bet on that right now. But we'll probably get doses of all of them the way that we have all season. Otherwise, everything we've heard injury-wise, the guy should be fine enough to play at least on what was supposed to be a short week game, and it turns out to be a lot longer. So I think Juju Smith-Schuster, I think, was the most notable one heading into what should have been the Thanksgiving night game. I believe he was going to play anyway. So from where they are, the practice report is all over the board. So I don't know specifically today where anybody is. But it is my understanding is Juju should be fine. I don't think there's anybody else that's going to be of a surprise. And Conner will end up being the loss for this game, which I think, you know, can hurt them a little bit. But I don't think it's a heavy loss for a team that really isn't running the ball well anyway. They got a lot of guys that cannot run the ball well and not really seem to make much of a difference for an offense that's scoring 30 points a game. So you have to be confident about where they are from an injury perspective, from a participation perspective. I think they'll be all right overall, but again, in such a weird week, who knows? You're probably going to have guys going down with strains, things like that, just because they haven't had the level of activity that they're used to. And in some cases on the Ravens, guys that might not have played football since last year, who knows? It'll be interesting to watch, especially early on. I think that's really going to be the most telling part of this game is how these guys handle the early on activity, early in the game, the contact and everything to that nature.
All right. What do you know about the Ravens? What do the Ravens know about the Ravens?
Yeah, I think they know maybe a little bit more than I do about them. These games should worry coaches, really, because, and I'm not saying that the Steelers have absolutely no idea. I mean, they know every single player who was coming in and out of the league, and probably five teams worth of guys who aren't playing. They have scouting reports on them, but what they don't have is how the Ravens are going to use them on Wednesday. That is to say that they probably can't figure out, you know, just based on how the Ravens coach, how they play. If there's a team to have this issue with and be okay, it's going to be the Ravens, the Bengals, right, or the Browns, a team that they play often, right, and in this case with the coach who's been there the longest. Right. So you have to think Tomlin and his staff have something of a sense of how they're going to approach offensive football in particular in this case, because that's where I believe more of the losses are for them. They know what Robert Griffin can do. They just saw him last year. They're going to have a sense of that. They've got their running backs back. They know the power scheme that they like to employ. They know the zone scheme that they're capable of doing. They can prepare to that extent. I don't think they'll have, you know, too much of a problem, but their offensive line has been banged up. You're not sure what you're getting with that group anyway. So that could be an issue that the Steelers could exploit. But if it's me and you're John Harbaugh and you're looking at how to prepare for a team that you know exactly what they're going to do, and you're weakened, you're on the road, I would think the element of surprise is something they want to factor in. Now, when I say that, I don't mean fake punts and things like that. I just mean use Robert Griffin in a way that you haven't seen him used with the Ravens. Try to steal a couple early possessions. You know, if you can get this really is exactly what Dallas did, and I don't think many would argue with me that John Harbaugh is a better coach than Mike McCarthy is. Mm-hmm. Dallas used the fact that nobody had heard of their quarterback really leading into that game, and he attacked them. He went straight at them. They didn't play kind of, you know, conservatively or in a defensive fashion the way that many people probably would have thought they would. He attacked him right away, punched him in the mouth, and all of a sudden they're up 10-0. Right. You know, the Steelers get stuffed on a fourth and short situation. Dallas had command of that game early on and almost outlasted them. I think that's kind of what Baltimore will want to do. Logically, you think they're going to keep it on the ground because that's sort of the way the Ravens play football. But sure. I wouldn't be surprised if they opened it up a bit in this game and tried to get after Pittsburgh through the air right away. Nothing deep, probably. They don't want to bring on the pass rush nightmare that is the Steelers, but I think a controlled passing attack to try to set up three running backs who have all had success running the ball against the Steelers in the past is probably going to be the best formula for them. I think they need to keep Pittsburgh's defense off balance a little bit and try to maintain possession as much as they can. Keep the game close. They're a great special teams group. They can win it with field position and field goals. They're capable of doing that.
Neil, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's the NFL's determination, in your opinion, of not playing Week 18?
Oh, boy, that's an excellent question. I think I said this last week as well. I've been wrong in every turn of this, so I might not be the best person to ask, but it looks to me like it's got to be at least a 7 or an 8.
My opinion, it's 10. Their determination to not play Week 18 just appears to be in a 10. You don't jerry rig the schedule like this, where you got a Monday game, two Monday games next week, and a Tuesday game next week, unless you are determined not to play Week 18.
There's a part of me that honestly thinks they like the idea of trying to get market share on Wednesday. I think they might be trying to push for that a little bit. Either way,
very quickly, I made this point earlier. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt that incredible train of thought yet. Because you were rolling. All right, he's on a roll. Don't stop him. But people are like, well, the game starts at 12:40 in the West Coast. Everybody in the West Coast is home, right? Okay, like I was saying earlier. Okay, we're on a Zoom call. Your name can be there and not your face, Bob. Bob's drinking a Miller Lite watching the game while participating in the Zoom meeting.
Bob's making his cheese dip. He'll be right back.
Well,
here's the thing, too. It's not as if the West Coast isn't used to this.
Yeah.
You know, they have games that start at 10 a.m. Yeah. Granted, it's on the weekend, but if people want to watch a football game, my experience is they find a way to do it. So
yeah.
I don't think it's that big of a deal. And on top of that, it's not an ideal situation,
no. Obviously.
The NFL does not want headlines going out that the Rockettes just bumped them from a primetime slot.
Right.
It's the only way they could get the game in, then fine. I don't think NBC at this point is incredibly thrilled with the ratings possibility that they have. So whatever it is, it's going to be a little bit lower than Thanksgiving night. They already blew that. So
yeah.
they're looking to just get it on. But to be honest with you, I think it's going to get huge ratings because it's something different. It's unique. It's the middle of the week. You don't usually have football. It's a marquee matchup. I think a lot of people are going to watch this game. And I don't think that's ever really a problem when you have this type of game. I mean, we're not talking like, Jaguars, Bucks here, anything like
right,
that. You know,
exactly.
Get two of the more popular teams in the NFL with one of the most prominent rivalries, and they're good teams. I think people are going to want to watch that.
The Steelers are a national brand. The Steelers are a national brand. I mean, they're one of the few national teams in the NFL. And let's face it, Jacksonville. Yeah. I mean, even Tampa Bay, even with Brady, they're regional. Right? The Steelers are not. The Steelers are a national brand. I'm telling you, last year the Christmas tree lighting drew 7.26 million viewers. I'll bet it draws 10 because of the lead-in.
It wouldn't surprise me. That's actually a really good point. That's about the best lead-in you could ever get for a show. Maybe that's why NBC is doing it. Right. But you ask anybody who's backpacked around Europe, you know that they've seen and come across, even if they're not Steelers fans, they've come across people who are gigantic Steelers fans. You see the terrible foul everywhere you go. People are going to watch the game. Pittsburgh
Neil,
is never going to have an issue.
I know that. I've interrupted you a couple of times. I usually don't do that. I'm in Ireland. Okay, now remember, Dan Rooney was the ambassador to Ireland.
True.
But Penn State is over there, and he was at the game. All right. But the fans in Ireland, you know how many people came up to like Penn State and what big Steeler fans they are? So I'm huge Steeler fans in Ireland. So I'm in they're going through the last walkthrough, and it was at a soccer stadium at the College of Dublin, and there's some students sitting in the stands. Well, I had to go up through the stands. I had to get something. And I looked over and said, where are you guys from? They said, three of them were from Scotland and two of them were from Ireland. And they said, you guys like American football? Oh, we love the Steelers. Love the Steelers. I said, Steelers? I said, what do you think of... So I had to throw this out there. I said, what do you think of Jack Ham? Oh, this one guy from Scotland. Oh, Jock Ham. Oh, we loved it. I said, you want to meet him? Oh, I wish I could. Well, he's standing right there. I thought these guys were going to fall down. But that was in Ireland. The Steelers are loved in Ireland. It's unbelievable.
Yep. Yep, and that's the case pretty much every time there is a you hear in the broadcast all the time, one of the more annoying things, how well the Steelers fans travel. It's not as if Pittsburgh empties out when they go to Dallas. It's that Steelers fans are already living in Dallas, and they go to the games. They'll get tickets however they can. I mean, they own the state of Florida. I mean, anywhere you play in Florida, it may as well be, Pittsburgh South. That's just the way that it works. And you have the phenomenon in Pittsburgh of, an entire generation of people moved out of Pittsburgh in the 80s, and they raised kids other places to be Steelers fans. So it really is a Steeler nation. It's not as if they're all bandwagon fans or anything like that. I mean, I'm sure there's some out there, but by and large, it's a cultural thing. And Steeler Nation's a lot bigger than the city of Pittsburgh. So you have situations like that. People are going to tune into this. I work from home anyway. I get paid to watch the game, so I would watch it. But I promise you, if I didn't, I'd be watching the game one way or another. I'll find a solution to that problem.
So you're saying that this game has an opportunity to draw higher ratings than the normal Wednesday Mid-American Conference game on ESPN2?
Probably. I mean, look at it like this: NBC is bumping two Judge Judy episodes, Days of Our Lives, and two newscasts for this. I mean, they're going out on a limb here locally. I understand those are big draw items, but at the same time, you've got me stuck on the lead-in part. I'm really interested in what that's going to be now.
I know. I'm telling
you, they get 10, 11 million. They might try to do it again next year.
Oh, that's all we need. It's Green Bay against Chicago on Wednesday afternoon football, leading into the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree lighting. Oh,
Rodgers, Mahomes, Wednesday afternoon.
Rodgers, Mahomes, the tree, all on NBC.
We just wrote the promo. We just wrote it for him. Where's our finder's fee? Get Ebersol on the phone.
Yeah. Neil, always a pleasure. Enjoy Wednesday afternoon football.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Neil Coolong. Mahomes, Rodgers, the tree, all on NBC. All right, back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Always fun to visit with Neil Coolong. It's not just information, but just fun. Great to have you with us on the show today, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. We open the show with another therapy session for Matt. He's just off the deep end.
It's always very cathartic.
He wants everybody fired.
Just the head coach and the GM.
No assistants?
Actually, and Jim Schwartz, too. All right, fine. Three.
Jalen Hurts?
I'm just indifferent about him at this point.
Carson Wentz?
I mean, I guess, yeah, for now. As I've said before, I wonder how well he can benefit from a new voice, a new coaching staff, a new general philosophy.
Should the Eagles draft a quarterback?
No. If they can rebuild around Carson with the new voices, they can get back to where they were. Number six right now, guess who they can get? One, Micah Parsons. I would love to see him in Midnight Green as part of the rebuild.
You're only a half game out of first.
This is true, yes.
We try to speak on this show in facts.
But with the Packers and Saints looming, we'll see if that might increase a little bit more.
It's like having a tug of war of you in the suit against the Eagles offensive line.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai. Fabulous new inventory. Great stuff. Not only that, great pre-owned inventory. Yeah. If that turns out that's what your budget calls for, get some pre-owned inventory. Great. And a service department that backs all this up. You need to have a great service department that takes care of the complicated to the routine. And that is the story at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday, the day after the Eagles didn't do so well. Yeah,
hurts.
Schedule's not favorable.
No.
It's not favorable. I don't know what to tell you. You see that ship in the end zone at the Buccaneers game?
Yes.
The Eagles actually went toward it. Started to sink.
That's a good way to put it. Those guys were put to sleep early. Did you see that? Early in the Chiefs game when it was 17-0? The guy was like laying on the cannon. CBS had a shot of that.
Oh, man. Yeah. It was not good. It was not good. But we've got something to look forward to. And that is Wednesday afternoon football.
Hey, it's a terrific duo. Go right into the Christmas tree lighting.
Bizarre. This year's so bizarre. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's, oh my goodness. You can't begin to tell you how bizarre it feels. It's totally bizarre. Wow.
Good for NBC to stick to its guns on that.
Yeah. I wouldn't have. We got the Steelers and Ravens on Wednesday night. I'm going for numbers. All right. Guess what? At halftime, you can light the Christmas tree. Right?
That would be a heck of a halftime show.
Of course it would be. Halftime, light the tree. Great. You know, you can have Jack Collinsworth there. It'd be great. Yeah, what the heck? Savannah Guthrie, light the tree. There you go. Okay. How long does that take? Hit a button. We're done. you got 50 Hallmark movies on right now. They all have some Christmas tree light at the beginning. It takes seconds. It doesn't eat up the entire movie. I'm not a person that is big
for example, on taking something, a minor, an event that takes seconds and building 2 hours around it? That's not, I've never been big on that. So, okay, let's get to it here. It's like when LeBron did the decision. Just say where you're going.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
But there's a lot of stuff like that. Like you build all around. Oh, for goodness sakes, will you just tell us what's going to go on here? So you're lighting a Christmas tree. Hit the button. Halftime's over. Let's go back to Pittsburgh. So I looked at it and go, we're doing what? We're starting at 3:40 because what?
But you know what? The NFL still got what it deserved for the way they've botched this whole thing.
Yeah, no, the NFL didn't botch anything. What did they botch? Being careful?
Well, not being careful, but caving into the Ravens and not keeping it Tuesday.
Yeah, but you don't know what the Ravens' numbers were or where they were in the recovery area. You don't know. They might not have had enough people to play. I don't know. Or they may have hit the threshold of negatives that finally allowed them to play. I don't know. That's one of those outside looking in, don't have the answer to it. I'm trying to be fair here. Yeah, I don't want to be the person that's on the air consumed with hate.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Very concerning. Very concerning. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, you need therapy, man. And the Eagle thing has you all out of whack. You're done.
Everybody knows the stories now, so nobody. This should not be to anybody's surprise.
Uh-oh. Is there another one?
No, just reiterating the ones that I already told.
Okay. Wow. It's just, yeah, I find it concerning. That's all. I find it concerning. By the way, on Friday's show, we have not had Anthony Tresh on from Pro Football Focus in a while. So we're going to do a little PFF on Friday. How about that? Talking about college players, I'm not going to sit here and and do something where we're ripping Carson Wentz all over again. I'm just saying. I get concerned about. I mean, you've attacked everybody today. Imagine you're sitting at home. Okay? You're sitting at home. And somebody is ripping the Eagles quarterback or ripping the Eagles head coach, Luke Cotrillo. Ooh. How would you react then?
It's a valid question.
I know it's a valid question. Feel like I hit a nerve. Feel like I hit a nerve. Could you imagine that? Now I'd have a completely different therapy session.
True. But at that point, that's what they signed up for, and that's what I theoretically would have signed up for.
So that's what you're going to say about Luke Cotrillo being criticized. You're going to say it's what he deserved.
I'd be there for him.
You'd be there for him.
Of course. Hypothetically, I would have known the media market that is Philadelphia. That's tough to be in sometimes.
You'd be there for him.
I would. Like there a good father.
You wouldn't get mad that people are ripping your son?
I mean, I'm sure that that would come in, of course.
I mean, because, I mean, it's, you know, no offense. I mean, he doesn't talk that well. I don't know how you can communicate plays and you can't talk.
Neither does the head coach right now, so. Oh!
Oh, you just won't back off. You've compared the coach to a one-year-old who's exactly 11 months old today.
That's exactly right.
11 months. And you are killing this kid. I have no words.
I had him in his Eagle gear throughout the day yesterday, so.
I have no words for this. No words. No words. Wow. Okay. I don't know if the audience can put up with this kind of bombardment of negativity.
Well, as soon as they heard the Stu Nod reference, I'm sure that just put it all out there.
I mean, do you have a circle of friends who all talk like this? Where you could feed off of each other's hatred?
That are Eagle fans? Very select few. That everybody else just knows that I'm just crazy in this, and they just have to listen to me, and that's about it.
When the Eagles lost in the NFC Championship games, how worked up were you?
Well, as I mentioned before, when they lost to Tampa, my dad had to give me Motrin afterwards because I was so fouled up.
Now I'm the version of Motrin? I mean, don't I deserve peace in my life? As they just keep losing?
Well, I like to, as I said before, I like to think of myself as I've matured over the years a little bit.
By the way, on the category of out for the year, linebacker Charlie Catcher's out for the year. Charlie can't catch a break when it comes to being healthy. He is one of those guys that when I look at him play, he knows how to play. I'll give you a good example. In the Nebraska game, early in the game, he gets in the game, makes the proper drop, gets himself in the right spot, and it turned out Jesse Luketta deflected the ball. Charlie was going to get an interception. It's that ability to put yourself in the right spot. He knows how to put himself in the right spots. He's not going to, you know, is he better than Ellis Brooks? No. Is he, you know, more athletic than a couple of other guys? No, but he's a good football player who can contribute and help with the team. Unfortunately, he's out for the year. I had a long talk with his parents at Nebraska, too. You know, he was at least playing. You know, they were upset about losing. They were excited that he was getting to play. They felt he might play a little bit more as time went, which I agreed with. I thought he would play more as time went, you know, because I think he had earned his way into the rotation. But again, this has been his problem. He is, you know, through bad luck, has not been able to keep himself on the field. And he's a good, solid college linebacker. But it's hard to prove it to you, the fans, because you know, when you're getting banged up, you're not getting on the field as often. You know, I've watched them in practice, and I've said to Brent, I said, hey, you know, the big thing about him is he knows how to play. You don't have to sit there and teach him how to do all this stuff. He understands, knows the game. But depth takes another hit there. Technically, I mean, Jesse Luketta is the backup middle linebacker. Technically, when they go ones and then twos, Max Chismar becomes the second team linebacker. And you've got to deal with some stuff. Penn State on Saturday had three running backs available. Keziah Holmes, Kevon Lee, and Joe Bruno. Those were the only three they had on the trip because Devin couldn't make the trip.
But what people may not realize, Penn State played the game with only three available corners. Marquise Wilson, Joey Porter Jr., Daquan Hardy were the only three available. Now, this week they expect four, and I think there's an excellent chance they get five corners available this week. Imagine that. In today's game, playing the game with three available corners. Now, there were a couple of guys, for example, like Lamont Wade and so forth. They can cross-train and they can play over there, which they worked on a little bit last week. But they had three available corners. Porter, Wilson, and Hardy were the only three. It's a hard way to play. Fortunately, the offense had the ball so much the defense was not on the field that often in terms of number of plays and minutes. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
I mean, can't you play the game at 7 and about 8:32, cut to Rockefeller Center, hit the button, everybody goes, ooh, and then go back to Pittsburgh? I mean, you could do the entire 10-minute halftime show at Rockefeller Center from the skating rink.
Now, for me, that would be okay, but NBC always has the big festivities that go along with it.
Like what? I don't.
Well, you know, they like to have the musical performances and everything else that the hoopla comes with it. I'd be fine with just that, too. Because I don't care about the other stuff. I just want to see the tree lit, and that's about it.
I mean, to me, this is the equivalent of Syracuse spiking it on fourth down. Like, what are you doing?
Nah, that was still worse.
Well, I understand. Look, they have sponsors lined up. In all seriousness, they have sponsors lined up. They've sold it. You know, in other words, the last thing NBC expected was having a football game on Wednesday. So the Rockefeller Center situation is quite simple. They have sold sponsors. They have people lined up as acts and everything like that. I don't blame them for not wanting to change it at all because of the commitments that have been involved by both talent and also by the sales staff. So I completely get it. But there is a reality to this. The reality is you play the game, you cut over at halftime, hey, boom, button, okay, let's go back to Pittsburgh. That's about how long it takes. You ever see the Rockefeller Christmas tree?
I have. A couple times.
It's gorgeous. It is gorgeous.
Beautiful scene down there. You must go during Christmas time if you haven't.
Yeah, I remember, obviously, between the Pinstripe Bowl and some basketball tournaments. I've been there right after. I've been there right before Christmas to do basketball. But when I went, the game was 11 a.m. I wasn't going down to Rockefeller Center from... Rockefeller Center is down... Let's see how far down. I want to say it's like 48th?
Yes.
Somewhere around there, 48th Street? And where we were staying was 34th. It was cold. I wasn't walking 14 blocks to look at a tree. But when the Pinstripe Bowl, we were staying at the Hilton. It was like out the door, boom, make a right, make a left. There it was. Couldn't have been any easier. Nice light show on Saks Fifth Avenue. This is when people went to New York. I would doubt people are allowed to attend it, right?
That was my thought, too. I never heard officially, but I would think there's going to be little to nobody there, I would think, except for the essentials.
Yeah, I mean, they may not be allowed to attend it. But you will have, obviously, performers. Again, the performers have been contracted to do this. They've worked hard. They deserve exactly what the spot that they have. It's been sold. So they've sold all this advertising around it. And this is a last second throw in. But the reality is it's lighting a Christmas tree. I mean, do we have to see the story about how they cut it down in Colorado and drove it across? I mean, do we have to see that?
And then there was the owl, too, that was found.
They found an owl?
Yeah, you didn't see that?
I have a life, no.
As they were putting it in place in Rockefeller Center, they found a baby owl that had somehow survived the whole trip from wherever it was brought, you said Colorado, to New York.
I have no idea where
whatever
it's from.
It was.
North Carolina, Colorado,
yeah.
Guatemala, I have no idea.
But they found the baby owl, and they released it back to the wild.
Well, that's a 10-minute segment.
That's
again,
true.
I totally get what they're doing here. I'm just saying the reality is this. You play the game. You take 10 minutes at halftime. Couple little quick things. Bang, bang, bang. Boom, light the tree. Back to Big Ben. What do you think? Now that's programming.
Sign you up. Put you in charge.
It's realistic. It's common sense. All right. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.